Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to Live Radio. Thank you for sunshine. Thank you for rain. Thank you for joy. Thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. Open the blinds. There's a light. We know a life. So let's make it right. It's a beautiful day. Yeah, it's a beautiful day.
LiveDeliverance.com here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So now, if you're listening to us via the simulcast during the hours of 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock p.m. here on Monday evenings, we are so glad to have you. Because the Lord is moving in a mighty way, it is my pleasure to let you know that you can also hear the Live Deliverance broadcast on Facebook at facebook.com/events/www.blogtalkradio/LiveDeliverance. And you can also reach us on Apple, podcast.apple.com/US, and also on the Player FM series at player.fm/series/live deliverance. And as the Lord is releasing his glory all over the world, we'd like for you to get involved with this ministry. Invite some of your friends, family members, and even your coworkers to come and listen and be blessed. Don't forget that tonight's ministry will also be made available for you to share with them about 10 minutes after the broadcast is over. Just go to the website, livedeliverance.com, and look for Pastor Steve Lee and the date of that broadcast. So go ahead now and get a pen and some paper. And if you have any questions or comments about the ministry tonight, when we get to the end of the broadcast, we'll give you an opportunity to ask those questions or make those comments. Please know that I'm only here because of what the Lord said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed about to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, they grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual work in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto itself in the edifying of love. Now, having said all that, we can get down to the kingdom business. So if you would, join your hearts with me in a word of prayer. Speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your spirit and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father, and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in that grace that has appeared to all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For it is you that has made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So we ask you to speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, again, this is part 6 of Seeing Zen. So that we could just align ourselves and this is the year of open doors. 24, the number 4 in the Hebrew language means open doors. So we should prepare our hearts to go into the promised land, the land of victory that God has given unto us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, which was the foundation scripture here, it says, starting in verse 12, it says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, and the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which he has abolished. But in their minds, they were always blinded. Until this day, there remaineth the same veil, untaken away, in the reading of the Old Testament, in which veil is to be done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when they shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we, with all open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, sometimes, and he said it in this passage, that people go to the scriptures and they read it in maybe what might be a dark time in their life. And so then they don't adhere to the promise of the victory that God has for us, the preordained steps that he has given for us. It says that they go with the blinders on, if you would, of hurt and pain or sorrow or depression. And so their eyes, the eyes of their understanding, are not enlightened. So they think that, well, some people might say this is the best this is going to get. You know, I am very certain that God, who intended good for my life, causes it to be more and more each day. He daily loads us down with benefits because that's his love that he has towards us. The challenge might be that sometimes we forget that he's on our side. Circumstances should not speak to us louder than the word of God. I'll say that again. Circumstances should not speak to us louder than the word of God. When we allow circumstances or the dispensation of events that we're working in, walking in right now, if we let them cause our understanding to be enlightened, then we'll be those that lose hope. Okay? And hope is necessary, but hope works best from the position of seeing then. What did Jesus do for us at Calvary? You know, it doesn't matter how we feel at any given time. It's more important on what we believe or in whom we believe. Because when your faith is rooted, grounded, settled, then there's no place to go. I'm destined to do it, God. When you're rooted and grounded, there's no place to go but up. Amen. And that's not just saying something that sounds good. Your roots give all of the nutrition that's necessary for the tree. Why is the tree there? So that the leaves can glorify God, that people can see the glory of God on you from a long way off. How about that? See, because you can see the leaves, you can't see the roots. See? And the reason that the leaves are so beautiful is because the root structure is so strong. Wow. I'm just seeing that now. We sometimes are rooted in frustrations and fears and doubt because of the way we've been taught, because of the experiences of our life, you know? And that's really not a way for us to enter in to the promise that God has for us. When we let a promise slip, that's what the devil is counting on, because if you slip, that means you've already started thinking about ways to make your landing better. And please know this, that on the way down, the devil's going to tell you, I told you it didn't work. I told you that stuff is not for now. He's going to have those conversations with you quickly in the midst of the mess. The mess that he calls. But if you have a confident assurance that what God has said is what you're going to enjoy, then you will be able to enjoy it. You'll be able to bring that into manifestation in your life because of seeing then. Okay? We don't have to see now, because all of these things that Jesus did for us were set in motion at Calvary. Seeing then. When you have a grasp of what he did for you then, it's not so bad to go through it now. You know, sometimes we've lost money in a couch, okay? And we think about where we lost the money, and we know that it was in this position, at the couch or in this room. We tie up that room or that couch looking for what we know is there. Okay? And that's the way we should do with the Word of God. We should know, have assurance, settled heart that God has said what he said, and he meant it. Not only did he mean it, he meant it for you. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Okay? Because the Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is the one that released a word that would cause you to enjoy good. Let's go back to the place where we could hear that word. Instead of the circumstances, again, I say it most of the time, the definition for circumstances is things circled around you, standing against you. Why would you want to get your information from the position of trouble instead of the position of victory? Because God sends a word into your heart, into your spirit. And Jesus said, man should not live by flesh and bread alone. He should live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, proceedeth. That means perpetually coming at you. Amen. It's not just something that, you know, it was good for the people that are back there. It ain't good for me. No, the word of God lives and abides forever. See? So we need to just kind of frame our thinking from that. I mean, I think about Job and all the stuff that he went through. The devil threw everything he could at Job. And God says about Job, he did not sin with his mouth. He didn't say the wrong stuff. Even though everything was crazy around about him, his wife told him, so why don't you just curse God and die? And Job had his integrity to say, if he slay me, yet will I praise him. Even in the point of death, he said, I'm going to enter into whatever that situation might be, praising him. That's kind of, you know, real good there. See, we need to have that kind of tenacity as it relates to God, his promises, his word, his spirit. I believe we tend to give up too quickly on the word of God. And the reason that we do that is because we're seeing now and not seeing then. See? Because no word that God spoke, he said, it will not return to him thither or without accomplishing what he pleased. He put it in you. He gave you a hearing ear in your spirit so that he can have it on the inside of you so that you can learn to live inside out instead of outside in. If we live outside in, what happens is the events that we're looking at, they choke the word and make it unprofitable. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4, okay, so that you can just see this, how it's orchestrated, how God set it up. See, he wants you to adhere, trust in, rely on the word that's in the heart that's active. See, seeing then. Mark chapter 4. You know it as the parable of the sower, because Jesus often talked to them in this manner. Without a parable, he didn't teach them anything. Okay, so then it's our responsibility to understand the parable, walk in the parable. Watch this. He spoke to them in verses 3 to verses 11. And he's going to reiterate what he said in those verses, starting at verse 12. And so let's just go there, okay? Starting at verse 9. Watch this. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus, who formed our bodies, made our bodies, he knew that everybody had what I call catcher's mitt on the side of their face. He wasn't talking about the catcher mitt on the side of the face. He was talking about hearing the word in your spirit, understanding that the word was spoken so that you can partake of it first in your spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 6, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Okay? So start there. I know you might be having issues in your flesh. I got that. This ain't working. That ain't going right. They didn't do this the right. I got that. Issues in your flesh. But he spoke a word to your spirit so that you can overcome your flesh and then put your flesh in the proper place. See? But a lot of times we allow our flesh to rule, not because we do the wrong stuff, but we begin to believe the wrong thing. Okay? Because if you do believe the wrong thing, yeah, you probably are going to do the wrong stuff. Okay? Let's watch this. He said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. So that tells me right there, it's our option, isn't it? It's up to us to do the thing. So he that hath ears, let him hear. And then when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. Let's go back and dig there. He said, unto you it is given to know, notice please, there is singularity here, the mystery of the kingdom. Wow. See, he's not speaking in plurality. He's speaking singularly. Practice this, he would be saying. Listen with your spirit, not with your eyes or flesh. Okay? Start with your spirit. How many times do we go and find ourselves in a challenge and then listen at what our flesh says? See, we've got to stop doing that, because he said, unto you it was given to know this. Okay? People that don't hang around with Jesus, that don't walk with Jesus, okay, look at what he did there. There was a bunch of people around him, but the people that were with him after he spoke, the people that continued in his way, that was the people that he was speaking to. He was no longer speaking to the great crowd. He says, notice that when he was alone with them. So there goes a point of emphasis. What is God saying to you when you are alone with him? Wow, wow. Not only are you out of the reach of other people, but you're not bringing other things into the place of worship. I'm going to get to that in a minute. I just saw how that applies. He said you're alone with him. Sometimes when we were supposed to be fellowshipping with worshiping God, we bring our complaints there. Okay, stop and see la. You know, these people were alone with him. You remember Mary and Martha? And Mary chose to sit at his feet. When Martha was troubled about by many things, she didn't take the time to be alone with him to hear victory that comes out of his mouth. See? I mean, it's just some things that you can see in the Bible that you can say, wait a minute, I didn't approach that correctly. I approached that with a preconceived idea. You know, if we perpetually bring God our doubt and our unbelief, we're telling him we don't believe that he was able to do something. I'm just giving you an announcement that I'm going to go to plan B. I hope you see that. I mean, when we get to the place where we are steadfast, then I don't have a plan B. I only have plan A, Jesus and him crucified. I don't have anything else. That's what Paul said. I'm not bringing anything else to this position of my request. I'm coming at you knowing that it's in you I live. It's in you I move. It's in you I have my very being. And that's just a different place from what the people that was around him. See, there was tons of them. Even the lady that was healed from the issue of blood. There were a bunch of people around him, but Jesus said, no. Somebody touched me. I perceive that virtue has come out of me. The answer, okay, let's look at it this way. I perceive that the answer came out of me. All of y'all are standing around me to look good, to say you was in the crowd, but somebody got an answer. See, somebody reached me. Faith to faith. There was a transition period that no longer is going to be stretched out. It's so right now. Because as soon as that happened, Jesus turned and said, oh, who turned, who touched me? And she said, it's me. She told Jesus everything that had been happening, how she had been, she went broke, giving all of the doctors the money that she had for the healing they didn't give her. And then Jesus said to her, because you touched me, because you reached in the dimension of faith that's always alive and active, your faith has made you whole. It was instant transfer, not one of these in our thoughts progressive transfer. I know it's going to get better later on. That's what Martha had. She said, I know it's going to be okay in the last day. Okay? But Jesus was there to meet her need immediately. Okay? Those of you that have ears to hear. I mean, you can see there is a prerequisite so that the function of faith is going to be active. You have to hear it spirit to spirit, not something that goes to your head or your intellect. Because when you go to your head or your intellect, that's flesh, and you're going to get the response from flesh. You will not get this response from the Spirit of God. Jesus said, it is given. He didn't say it will be given, did he? He said, unto you, verse 11, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. All, and those that are without, these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, that hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. So did you notice that he put the any time in there for us instead of a long time off? If we would just do our part, he said, then he's already finished it. Again, it is given unto you. See, that's right now, isn't it? That's not no will be. That's not no if you do the right stuff. That's once you activate the faith that's necessary to contact him spirit to spirit, it is given unto you. And then in verse 13, it said, verse 13, he said, I'm going to go ahead and give you some real clear stuff. If you don't know this parable, then you will not be able to know all of the things that I'm saying to you. This is the mystery of the kingdom. Okay? This is the granddaddy of them all. When you understand this, you'll understand everything. He said, verse 14, the sower soweth the word. So then we know that Jesus, who is the sower, did his part. So then, I don't know, in our minds, we go and kind of think maybe Jesus didn't do something for us. He didn't answer us. Yes, he did. He sowed into your spirit that which was necessary for your victory. Amen. See, says he sowed the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Okay, he just told you the word is going to be sown in daily life, in activity. It wasn't just sown when you decided to have a worship service. Come on, y'all. See, because I'm going to God, and I'm doing my part, so then God's going to tell me. It says this seed was sown in everybody doing their own life. Okay? You know, I don't know how we got there, but we have sometimes locked God into a bubble that says, okay, We can only receive from him under certain circumstances. After we have prayed for an hour, sung for 2 hours, then we can get something from God. See, we need to remove that thinking that God has a punitive relation with the sower, sows the word in everyday living. Okay? I hope you get this. See, he didn't just sow the word under special circumstances. See, after I fasted, now I know God's going to move. No, you need to just go back to the place where your life can be lived through him. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live through him that loved me and gave himself for me. I don't frustrate the grace of God. It has to be done that way so that it becomes your everyday. Come on, that's good, sir. It has to be done that way so that this life of hearing in the spirit becomes your everyday. Glory, glory, glory. So you don't have to be wondering, because you will then have settled yourself that his word that has been sent, it was sent to heal and deliver. The sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Okay? Probably true that if you don't believe God in the hard times, you won't believe him in the easy. Okay? If you don't have confidence that he's on your side when it's going bad, when you finally get a rest, you might not even think he was God. You'll give somebody else or something else the credit for that. I knew if I was only in this place, I knew that when I got to this, you didn't give God his due. And you trained yourself not to do that, see, because you didn't believe him when the times were bad. See, not trying to believe him when times were bad. Job didn't say, wait a minute, let me go pray and worship. No, Job said, no, even if I don't understand, I know I've received my blessing. See? I mean, this is the heart that's going to be necessary for us in these days. That's real, y'all. It cannot get any better until we display the love of God every day in our life. They don't have a witness to see it working in. Let your light so shine that men would see your good, and then they would change their conversation. They will glorify God. Okay. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Sometimes we can hear it and don't have the understanding of how to use it, apply it, and walk therein. Because, see, you know something, okay, true. Understand this, believe this, that his yoke is easy, his burden is light. What does that mean? That when he speaks a word to you, it's easy for you to walk it out. He's not going to ask you to do something you can't do. First of all, everything you do, you're going to do it with his help anyway. Amen. I am what I am by the grace of God. I understand that this was done by grace in my life. God did it. See? But we didn't understand how to do it, see the steps that were necessary. And since we didn't, and this doesn't happen over time, please note, he says, the word was sown, but when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. See? When you don't use it, the devil's coming to steal it. Every time, all the time. immediately. See? So the thing that we need to, I guess, practice in our heart is when you hear a word, let that word be hidden in your heart. That's what, wow, that's good, sir. That's what David said. He said, your word have I hid in my heart so that I would not sin against you. And the definition for sin is not just bad actions. It's being without a portion. So then when you recognize the word that was sown was a word that was given to you so that you will have enough to meet the temptation, it was sown in your heart. Now you have enough to resist the devil. Didn't even have to fight it. All you got to do is resist him, and he'll flee. If you don't seal the word, I remember what I would do is I would, after reading, taking my Bible time, study, and prayer and worship, then I would ask God, by the Holy Spirit, would you seal that in my spirit? Cause me to know that the deposit was made so that when I need to apply it to whatever situation, it'll come up on me. It'll come from the inside up and then cascade down to every situation, challenge, and problem. It comes up on me. See? I'm not trying to get it. Come on, that's good. I'm not trying to get it to come from out there. It has to come up from my heart. Out of my bellies will flow rivers of living water. Comes up on me. I have a cup that's now running over. Yeah, yeah. It comes up on me. Glory to God. I'm not just asking God to come fill my cup. He already did. I'm asking the release to come up on me. Glory to God. And as it comes up on me, I can then live off of the overflow. Hallelujah. I ain't even tapped into the major part of my account. I'm living on the overflow. That which comes up on me. See, I'm living from rivers, not just a singular. The flow that he does, he puts inside of me, rivers come out. I have more than enough for every situation. One river would probably deal with the situation, but he's giving me rivers with an S. He didn't even bother to number the rivers. He just said it will be multiple rivers. Glory to God. I'm preaching myself happy. Ooh. It says that he did sow the word, but because they didn't understand it, it says that Satan came immediately to take away that which was sown in their hearts. And likewise, these, they which are sown on stony grounds, who, when they have heard the word, I want you to notice each time the thief comes, he's coming for the word that was sown. He's coming for what is your victory that you don't even understand yet. He said that stony ground, they heard it, and immediately they receive it with gladness. But because they have no root in themselves, but for a time, and afterward when affliction, persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Okay, I would like for you to take some notes here. It says that afterwards, when affliction or persecution, one and two, there are only five things that the devil can use, and Jesus is going to tell them to us. Okay, affliction and persecution. Okay, so one and two. So when you're in the middle of the thing, you might want to find out, is this persecution that came for the word? Is this affliction that came because of the word? And if so, I need to maintain the word. Okay? Okay? Verse 18, and it says, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world. Number three, the deceitfulness of riches. Number four, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Okay? Only five things the devil can use. There is no other. It's a combination of these things sometimes, but it's only five things. It's going to be affliction, persecution, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in. They're trying to take a place where the word was. They're trying to convince you by all of the things that just happened that the word didn't work. And so then you replace, give up on the word and replace it with one of those things. You replace it with the affliction being too much for you. So then you say, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't like it. Instead of saying, no, this persecution is only coming because of the word I just heard. So I'm not going to give it up. I'm going to maintain that. And then when I do, the persecution has to go. See? So kind of we've been missing this. I'm just trying to assemble it in your thinking so that you can be quickened by the Holy Spirit that, okay, wait a minute, this was just me giving up the word for the cares of this world, or me giving up the word, lusts of other things. I want people to stop messing with me. That would simply be a lust of other things entering in, wouldn't it? When God has already told you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, why am I concerned about them persecuting me? See? I let go of the word and hold on to the event. See? The devil causes a replacement of my victory with my sorrow. I hope you can see that. See? That's what the devil's been doing all the time. But Jesus came and he gave us the blueprint for victory. Okay? Let's do it again. Again, it says that in verse 19, the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, entering in and choke the word. And what happens? It becomes unfruitful. Maybe we can look at the process of that, how it becomes unfruitful. At first, we have hope that the word is going to work. But then when we don't see manifestations that so-and-so had, we let go of the word that we had. It becomes unfruitful. It becomes no longer a position of hope in your life because you let the lusts of other things enter in. See? You think that, oh, okay, it can't be working for me because she got it and I didn't, and I've been here longer than she has. The lusts of other things entering in chokes the word. See that? That just, we're trying to dig into the process here. Well, why can't I, okay, why can't I hit the lottery and get my breakthrough? The lusts of other things entering in. When you first were there, you were just asking God to meet your need. Now you don't want him to show you that, show everybody that you got more than you need. And God will do that. That's not an issue to him. The challenge is, does he have your heart? And if you still are going after the lusts of other things, it is evident he doesn't have your heart. Oh, I'm gonna bless the church and I'm going to give to this and that. I understand that. Well, I could just ask the question, if you're not doing it now, you probably won't do it then. Amen. That's just real. Okay? Because who you are doesn't change because of a blessing. Amen. If you change because of a blessing, then you were not anyone but those that were seeking the lust of other things. Because if you stand against the devil's pushing in the midst of the trial, and know that my God that is promised is working the thing for my good. Okay? I don't give that up. I don't stop the process of God, letting patience have a perfect work in me that I may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Or am I going to say, well, you know, they got it, so I should have it. The lust of other things then creeps in and creeps in to then displace the promise that was given to you in the first place. Okay? I mean, that's, he does not have any other way of winning. Okay? Watch this. So verse 20, it says, but these are they which were sown on good ground. Sown on what? Good ground. So these are not maybe Christians. Come on, let's say that, Lord. These are not iffy Christians. It says the word was sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. It says the ones that have ground that has already been tilled, good ground. It's not hard ground. It's not shaky ground. It is ground where we expect to receive a crop because we understand God is faithful, that as long as the earth remains, there shall be seed time and harvest. So I've already prepared my ground. I've gone before God and I've said, okay, God, I give this up. I release this. I'm not looking to show myself as one that has everything that the world can smile at. I've got what you said I should have. I've got the word. So I simply stand on, believe, and trust in that here on that word. Good ground. It says they heard the promise on good ground. You know, sometimes as I'm reading, studying, praying, meditating, I would have, as you would, a word come down to me that's as light as a feather, if you would. And it just landed on my spirit. I wasn't looking for an answer. I wasn't looking for an event change. I was just thinking on God. And he dropped a word in my spirit, and lightly. And I said, wow, oh, that resolves this issue. Oh, yeah, thank you, Lord. And then I continued to meditate, turn that word over, mutter that word until that word becomes rooted and grounded. I don't go out and say, get out the way, devil. I get the word rooted and grounded in my heart. And then once it's rooted and grounded, now I can declare and decree a thing, and it shall be established unto me. It was sown on good ground. Such as hear the word, receive the word, and now the word brings forth fruit. Notice it didn't say I had to bring forth the fruit. I ain't got to show everybody, do I? Amen. The word brings forth fruit. Just like old Job, people went there and they said, man, you must be doing bad. Job did not move from his profession of faith or his position of life. He didn't say, you know, well, I'm gonna do what you say because it sounded good. And he had some people that had some pretty good arguments. But because he didn't listen to the arguments, at the end of that deal, God showed up and said, you are not like my servant Job. You like the other people. But because Job has done what I asked and believed he would do, he's now going to receive sevenfold. I'm not looking for just hitting the lottery. Sevenfold sounds a whole lot better than me, God. Because I know people that have been reported, they won the lottery, and within 3 years at the max, sometimes within 3 or 4 months, they're doing bad. Why? Because they didn't have hearts that were established to operate in the prosperity of God. They were still trying to prove to people that they got all that. party after party, car after car, house after house. See? But because you have allowed God to work the seed in your heart, the seed brings forth the fruit. The word brings forth the fruit. And then he says, it will happen 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And see, people that are farmers or deal with crops would understand that, wow, first thing they understand that the crop that they took the time to plant correctly is not just going to give me something this year, but it's going to reproduce every year, 100-fold. Okay? You're going to get blessed now, but that's not all. Amen. So that would be something to think about so that you would know that I'm seeing then rather than seeing now or looking at my when. That was kind of, wasn't even what I want to talk about, but I can see how it connects so easily in our lives. Because we sometimes give up on the process of God. Wow. Because we gave up on the word of God. You might want to write that one down. That was good. We give up on the process of God because we gave up on the word of God. These are they that were sown, but all of the stuff that happens. And so we gave up on the process of God. Was the process of God able to keep you during the storm? Yes, it was. But we went to God because of the storm and said it must not be working. So then we gave up then and there on the process of God, didn't we? Amen. And the word of God has preordained steps that we should walk in. But when we have blinders on our heart, when we are operating in darkness, then we'll give up on the process of God. You know, there was a song. It's cute, but I get it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Well, why don't we apply that to the things that God has put into our spirit? Let the small beginning take root. Amen. Because Jesus told us, if you had faith as a mustard seed, that's the smallest seed that we know. He says, if you would operate from that principle that I have planted a word that is going to bring forth fruit, going to bring forth 30, 60, and 100-fold, I'm not going to give up on the process of God. The process of God is there to help you move away. Thank you, my God. The process of God is there to help you move away from the sin of now. Gotta have it now. They that wait upon the Lord, they that minister unto him. That's what that means, word wait means. See, that in the time of small beginning, I'm going to say, yeah, my God is working things together so that I would be able to enjoy the good. I'm going to enjoy the 100-fold, but I'm praising him now in the season of planting. I'm taking the time to cultivate around the seed that was. I'm removing the weeds. I'm removing the hardness of the soil so that my seed can then flourish. That's the process of God. Yeah, I don't give up on the process just because of situations, circumstances. I stay with the process so that the word that's going to bring forth the fruit, some 60, 30, and 100, I know that that word is in a protected place in my heart. It is in a productive place in my heart. The word doesn't have to try to come up through hard ground. Amen. See, there's a specific way that we're supposed to come in the presence of God. I brought this up a minute ago, but I want you to get it. Psalms 100, and we probably know, you know, that's a pretty familiar passage of scripture. But in verse 3 of Psalms 100, it says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are sheep of his pasture." Now listen to what he says in verse 4. He said, "Because you are sheep of his pasture, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." So then if I don't enter correctly, I probably will not be standing correctly. Then I will not be able to do what I need to do while I'm standing to receive what I want to receive. You know that the presence of God should bring rest and joy. Joy that's the unspeakable kind. Joy that will cause you to enjoy the good that he has for you. But if you bring complaint in there with you, because he says that most of us, this is kind of the way we were trained, you know. There is a scripture that says, cast all of your cares over on him. Got that. Did you know that that generally can be done through praise? Amen. That generally can be done through thanksgiving because of a word, not because of possession. That's how you enter into his praise, into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. See? I don't bring my issues in there. God already knows about my issues. He wants me to spend time worshiping him, not worshiping my issues. How did the devil steal the word that was sown? Because the hard ground showed up. Because the thorn showed up. And because the thorn showed up, the word became unfruitful. Do you see the process? The devil does that to us because he knows we don't like issues and situations. Glory to God. Issues and situations are just like a toe that has been stepped on. So the toe that has been stepped on usually is the one that does the hollering, instead of the one that has been hurt, give praise. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was on the cross with spears in his side, spear cuts, and a crown of thorns on his head, and stripes on his back. And in the trouble, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." See, that was a voice of thanksgiving that the God that I know, because before he even went to that, he told him, it says that this is my life. I lay it down and I pick it up. This commandment have I received from my Father. And then he went on through the experience of the crucifixion, and he had that word of, I lay it down and I pick it up. Thank you, Lord, that you already gave me the power to release the grace that you've already made available in this situation. Father, forgive them. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. They bless his name. Be thankful. Why? Because as you do that, then you will bless his name. I'm not there trying to get my name blessed or prospered. I'm trying to bless his name. Well, it's just depending on how we are wanting to enjoy. This is the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold. Okay? If I know that God's doing the thing in such a great way to cause me to be strengthened, to cause me to get to the 100-fold, then when I get there, some of the conversations that we'll have in my praise and worship I'll be about the 60, would be about the 30, because I'll be thankful then, won't I? Yeah. That's a specific way we're supposed to come into his presence. His mercy is waiting on us to be released in every situation. Not God go get them, but God forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See, a heart full of mercy will make intercession that causes God to know that you're ready for the next level of blessing. You don't have to stay in the 30. You can now go to the 60. You can now go from the 60 to the 100. Why? Because you're in a place that you're going to stay in his presence with thanksgiving. See, you're going to bless those that persecute you. Okay? He can now trust you at a higher level. Your display of the words that come out of your mouth is the evidence that he's looking for. So our inward conversations that are being heard both by the devil and the Lord, see, they really matter. That's what gives the spirit world access to your life. The words of your mouth. By your, Jesus said in Matthew 11, by your word, excuse me, Matthew 12, by your words are you justified, by your words are you condemned. See? He wants you to be able to release power. Because every promise was sent to you in power, and it must be released through power. Turn to Matthew 18. Let's look at that. Matthew 18. See, the process of God allows the prosperity of God. The process of God allows the prosperity of God to flow. Wow. In Matthew chapter 18. Jesus said, verily, verily, verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I say, if any two shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two are gathered, two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. All right? This is this. I've kind of looked at this differently. Because the voices of the spirit, I know what's happening, okay? By my voice, I let the devil know or I let God know, all right? And if I know truly, truly that whatever I bind is bound, then I have cultivated the ground, haven't I? I'm not just saying that because I'm mad trying to bind, see? It's just a different place. When you speak from your position that you've been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, when you speak from that position, you don't have to yell anymore. Amen. Amen. Because you are in the presence of royalty. And one of the things that you would know as you are in the presence of royalty, I don't need to shout. Amen. I could even whisper in the presence of royalty because I know I'm sitting in the midst of power. The way that the requests were made generally to a king is they would say, if it pleased the king. Doesn't sound like you hollering, screaming. Sounds like you have found rest unto your souls, so that now when I speak, the power of the word that was given to me as a promise kicks in. Not the power of my engagement. Okay? If I think that it's going to all fall on me, then I might have to holler. I mean, one time, I will never forget it, that one time I was kind of frustrated, and I went to God, and I took that anger spirit with me, and I just talked loud, and God asked me, who are you yelling at? Oh, my God, I cannot tell you what my spirit did. I was shaking in my spirit. My flesh was affected by that because I didn't want to ever presume that I can go to heaven and shout and scream at God. I mean, seriously, the words were, who do you think you're yelling at? And from that time to this, we never had that issue again. I don't care how frustrated I was. I mean, I was frustrated by the people of God doing things they didn't need to do to get God to move, but I took my position of thought into heaven. Why are they doing that? You think you hollering at? Surely I repented and never had that to happen again. So my speech does not have to be one of yelling when I'm at a position of peace, does it? Because whatsoever I say, whatever I bind as I say it, is bound. Whatever I loose is loose. And then he said, if I get the two to agree on earth as touching, I'm here on earth, right? So then as God agrees with me from by my spirit and his spirit, isn't that two? Yeah. That's the first place of witness. Okay? Every word has to be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So my spiritual understanding or my eyes being enlightened, that is my first witness. A heart that is submitted to spiritual things is my second witness. My mind that has been renewed by the word of God is my third witness. And my fourth witness is my actions that I'm now walking out. And the fifth witness the fourth witness is the sword of the Spirit. What I say, the word of God that comes out of my mouth. I'll do it again. My first witness is my spiritual eyes. Second one is a heart submitted to spiritual things. Third is my mind that is renewed. Fourth is the sword of the Spirit in my words. Fifth is then my actions. And God then supplies grace and empowers me the victory to win. See, the process of God. That's the process of God. I've got to know that spiritually I've got to see then. I can't look at what I'm looking at now and think that I got to speak from that position. I should speak from my position that has been made available in the heavenlies. Speak from that, seeing then. Then a heart that knows that the word of God, that is full of the word of God, that David said, that's a heart that will not miss the mark. That was a heart that will not sin against him. My third witness is a mind that has been renewed, that I don't even think that the devil can win by doing this, that, or the other. You know, sometimes we bring, well, the devil's doing this or they are doing that. Well, see, if I'm renewed, I don't have to worry about that, do I? See, I can then, in everything, give thanks. Okay? Because my mind has been renewed. I'm not frustrated by what they do. Whatever they're doing, it's a vain imagination. It shall not come to pass. They won't end up doing what they think that it's going to do. Because God is going to work all things together for my good. What the devil meant for evil, God has already meant it for good. And then he will cause it to be turned around in their face. I don't have to go tell them nothing. Then my mouth now gives way to what God say, the sword of the Spirit. I don't have to pour out my hurts, pains, and the poison that was in my mouth. I can say what the word says. And then as I do that, the witness that I've connected with God, then I get the grace that's necessary to win. to become victorious in that. A victory that glorifies God. See? Seeing then. That's what Jesus did. See? He did it all of the time when he was walking the earth to show us that that process is what guarantees the presence. If I shortcut the process, then I am diminishing the power, if you can understand that. I'm diminishing the power because the presence of God causes joy that's unspeakable. So then if I'm still dealing with frustrations, I didn't engage in a joy that was unspeakable, that catapults me to another plane of thought, another plane of vision. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. They're not trying to fight. Notice what happens when you know the name of the Lord. You don't have to fight. You run into the tower, and you're safe. I'm not even dealing with fights anymore. See? It's a better position of heart. Yes, I can see what's happening. I'm aware of that. And I can mention that, but I'm not going to mention it with an attitude of hurt or you got to do. I don't have any. I'm only enjoying 30, 60, and 100. I'm not worried about that. See? The place of power. It has to be established, he said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Jesus wants to be a partner with us. You remember in Mark chapter 16, it says that the Lord went with them, working with them, and then signs followed. See? So we have to do that. That's the pattern that Jesus left for us. See? In my wife's favorite scripture in John chapter 17, I'll just go on and end it here. John chapter 17. Jesus praying to the Father. And he said things that, you know, I he would preface it by, I know you hear me, for you always hear me. And so I'm not praying for just myself. I'm praying for these that are around me that they might hear. And I want you to sanctify them through your truth. Take them through the process of understanding that what you have promised is settled in the heaven. Sanctify them through your truth. He didn't even pray that he would take us out. He said, sanctify. Watch this. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. And as you sent me into the world, so have I also sent, even so I send them into the world with a guarantee that what I have said will work in their lives. That what I have done, the pattern that I've shown them through the process, it will work. And for they said, I sanctify myself so that they also might be sanctified through that truth. I don't pray for these alone, but I pray for them also, which will believe on me through their testimony, through their word, that have gone through the process of understanding how to allow God to release glory. Because I take the right steps. Not because I try to short circuit the process. I start by entering into his presence with thanksgiving. I come into his presence with praise. I don't come into his presence with problems. I come into his presence and receive answers for their problems. Father, you see what they're doing. Thank you that you're going to turn it for my good. I say, I don't pray for these, but for those that will believe on us, believe that you sent me. And the glory that you gave me, you're going to give to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. Notice the perfection that we're looking for does not come from hollering, screaming. It comes from knowing that I'm in him and he is in me. See? That's the process that produces or calls the presence to then to be seen. And as the presence of God is seen, it activates change. The presence of God is not just there to comfort you. The presence of God is there to cause victory. See? And our Lord Jesus will bruise Satan under your heels shortly. The presence of God, it causes victory in your life. But you've got to know that my place is to be in him and he in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and then that the world may know that you loved them the same way you loved me, that the power that was necessary to effect change has been seen and worked in their life. Cause us to be those that walk in that power, that cause victory to be known because we are seen then rather than just seen now. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way. God is waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you and thank you for your word that is sent to heal and deliver, for your word that was sent to settle us so that the process that we go through is simply a process that allows glory to be worked in us so that we can then enjoy what glory produces, because the glory of God brings victory every time over every situation. Thank you, Father, that as you have crowned Adam in the garden with glory and honor, that you have now reminded us that we are crowned with that same glory and that same honor, and that we will utilize it unto victory that will glorify you in all that we do. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In the master's name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. Let the redeemed of the Lord say together, amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Well, as we always do, we'll open up the mics to give you an opportunity. If you have any comments or questions about the ministry, that you can release those now. Area code 773-895-9153. You have the mic. Any questions or comments? 773-895-9153. You have the mic.
No, Granddad. Over to God. Thank
you. It really was amazing to me, I promise you. Glad you was on the call. Glad you were strengthened by that. I'll call you afterwards in just a minute. All right.
Okay.
Area code 804-994-1486. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? Area code 804-994-1486.
And honor, I'm just listening, but I bless God and I thank God for the word that came forth on tonight.
Amen. It's a powerful word to me. It's affecting change in me, and it was already the word that was resident in me. I mean, I'm really, really happy that God is doing what he's doing in here. Here we go, 770-843-1578. You have the mic. Any questions or comments? 770-843-1578.
I don't have any questions. The comment I have is going out on the web and listening to this over and over and over and getting it well deposited in my spirit.
Yeah, that's what makes the change, because when the word is settled in you, you then are able to do things. That's what Jesus said would happen. He says that those that believe in my name, not just works, but greater works shall they do than I do. So then when the word abides, you allow even the greater than that's hard to imagine, I know, but that's what he promised. He said greater works when it's settled down in there, not just ones that have the word that it visits, you know, you have a good goosebump here and there, but it's the word that settles in your spirit that brings about change in your life. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that you were on the call, and it was a blessing to you. And again, all of those that were on the call, speak to my cyber members We thank you for all of your blessings that you give in tithes and gifts unto us, because that's the only way that we remain on the air. Just go to the website, livedeliverance.com, and find the donate tab and sow your seed. Let God reveal to you what he wants you to deposit in your future. Glory to God. Because all of the seeds that you sow, they show up in your future. Hallelujah. I just heard that. Wanted to release that right now. That's just the truth of what God has said. Because when you sow, you give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, praise down, shake it together, and run it over. So we thank you that you allow God to show you what he wants to do in your life through the seed that you sow here in livedeliverance.com. Thank you, Father, giving us the ability to take the word to the gospel to all of the world. We also like to remind you that you can invite your friends, family, members, and co-workers to join us where they can listen and participate on the broadcast every Monday night from 9 o'clock till around 10:30, so we can all grow together in faith and fellowship in the Spirit right here at livedeliverance.com. So until the next time that we gather together, may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Love y'all. Be blessed.